show us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God, and it's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word, and we carry on studying the Word of God, and today we will be in Revelation chapter 14 and 15, and what we looked at, there was war in heaven, and then the woman and the dragon in chapter 12, and then we've seen the beast, you know, we've seen the Antichrist come, and he has waged war against the saints, the tribulation saints, those who are left behind. And now we are now in the place where we are just about for the final victory and the final judgment. And remember, we're looking at the seals. There are seven seals. The six seals represents times in history. The seventh seal is the final time of judgment. And then within the seven seals, there are seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets, there are various judgments. But then in the seventh trumpet, then there is another angel that comes that asks us to prophesy into peoples, to tongues, to nations. And then there are two witnesses who also assist in prophecy. Then the beast is revealed. But then when the seventh trumpet is a completion, where it says the kingdoms of our God have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. And within the seventh trumpet, there is the seven bowls of judgment, which are the last final plagues before the end of this world as we know it, before the victorious reign of Christ. So, but now you see, in between, before that final harvest, we now see where the saints have just, there's in between the victory over the, you know, over the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet and the dragon. And then now we are where the saints are standing before God and they are ready to declare the victory, their victory. So in essence, if you've been following, it will be good to look at the previous teachings so that you can follow. But anyway, we'll carry on. Revelation chapter 14 tells us that. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of a mighty ocean waves, or the rolling of loud thunder. It was a sound, it was like the sound of many harpists, you know, playing together, the sound of many waters, which usually represents the sound of God. And then this great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living creatures and the 24 elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. They have kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. And they have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They have told no lies and they are without blame. So first of all, we'll see there are actually ideally two settings where songs are being told here. So there's in Revelation 14, there's this the Lamb and the 144,000, and where they're given a song that only they themselves who could learn it. Can you imagine how special God is? He will give you a song. He will give you something that only is unique to you. And it is a song that was only given to the 144,000. And remember, when you think of the 144,000, remember the 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000 from the various tribes of Israel. And these are the ones who God had redeemed for himself. No, he had chosen them out of the people of Israel. Remember, there's still many tribes, nations, and tongues that stand before the throne. But these were 144,000 who are chosen from Israel, who are redeemed by God, and who now the Bible says that they are redeemed from the earth. They kept themselves as pure as virgins, and they have been purchased. God is the one who bought them. and they are redeemed. When it says they are redeemed, they are purchased. So it is God who made them holy. You understand? Yes, they kept themselves, but the Bible says they kept themselves as pure. They did their part, but at the end of the day, the person that redeemed them is Christ. So because it is Christ who makes us righteous, who makes us holy, and even when it says they have told no lies, they are without blame, it is only God that makes us blameless. But you see, now God starts to now portray the victory. Remember, we've seen the war in heaven. Satan was cast down with his angels, a third of the angels. We've seen the beast standing and waging war against the church, being given the power to, you know, to torture, to kill, you know, to have victory over them. But then we are standing in the place of victory, because now judgment of the Lamb is about to come and Christ is about to come. So we are seeing this first song. So this is part of the song that we'll see in Revelation. So this first song is a song that no one can sing. And then we'll also be able to see the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. So ideally we will see this. So in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 14, it says, "Then I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God," he shouted, "give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as a judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth and the sea, and all the springs of water." Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, "Babylon is fallen, the great city has fallen, because she has made of all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality." Then a third angel followed them, shouting, "Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured out full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day and night, for they have accepted, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue, and have accepted the mark of his name." This means that God's holy people must endure persecution, patiently obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from all their hard work, for their good deeds will follow them." So what do we see here? We see that three angels are flying and they are now telling people, you know what? Fear God. Give glory to God. Time for judgment has come. Worship God. You know, worship the God. Then the second angel declared that Babylon is fallen. Remember, Babylon represents the great city of immorality, represents the world systems, represents, you know, all these political systems that are against God. And then the third angel shouted judgment against anyone who has had the mark of the beast. So anyone who had the mark of the beast, prepare to enjoy God's wrath, the wine of God's wrath. And this is judgment of the people. But then God says, let God's people endure persecution. Endure and wait it patiently. Because they say, blessed. From now, blessed are those who die in the Lord, because they shall rest from all their labors. So now we are going to see now the harvest of the earth. And the Bible says that in verse 14, that then I saw a white cloud. Seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. Hallelujah. He had a gold crown on his head. He had a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, "Swing the sickle, for the time of the harvest has come. The crop of the earth is ripe." So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. Verse 17, after that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, who had the power to destroy with fire, came from the altar and shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, "Swing your sickle now and gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment." So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. Now, when you see now, you know, the indication of judgment, when you see now this, when it says, "I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man," it's telling us that now this is the rapture. You see, when the rapture is happening, what happens is that Christ comes to take his church. And you see, when the angel shouts to the one sitting on the cloud, remember the Bible says he shall come seated, he shall, the same way you saw him going up, you know, the angels told the disciples, he shall, the same way he shall come in the clouds, and every eye shall see him. The eyes, the sign of the Son of Man shall be seen in the sky, and he shall come on the clouds. And you see, when the angel shouts, "Swing your sickle," he will gather his harvest. And when the Bible says the whole earth was harvested, remember, the dead in Christ will first be raised, and then we who are alive at that point will be gathered to meet the Lord in the clouds. So that first sickle, that first harvest that is done by the Son of Man, is for our redemption, is for our, you know, for our rapture, is for taking us to be saved from the day of judgment. Why? Because when the second sickle comes, then that is now judgment, because everyone who was left behind is now gathered as clusters of grapes to be, because they are ripe for judgment. And you can know how grapes, you know how juice is made. The grapes are taken and they are crushed. They are taken through a wine press. And when they are pressed, then what flows is the juice, the grape juice, or the vine, the juice from the vine. And that is what the Bible tells us, that because the grapes, which are those unbelievers, those who had the mark of the beast, those who refuse to worship God, they will be squeezed and their blood will flow, and it will be as high as one, as it will be as high as a horse's bridle and as long as a stream of 180 miles long. God is warning us. The reason for this message is God to warn us. The harvest is happening. The judgment is here. May God find us ready, that we should not be caught unawares. We should not be caught offside, but we should be found ready to hear the word of God, to be taught the word of God, and that God may find us ready and ready and ready. Then verse 15, chapter 15, sorry, we see now the final part that we shall look at today, which is the song of Moses and the Lamb. The Bible says that then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which will bring God's wrath to completion. Remember, we are in judgment, we're in the final stages. And this is in the greater tribulation period. And now the Bible says that verse 2, I saw before me what to seem to be a sea, a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were holding harps that God has given them, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now, first of all, before we get to the song, okay, we can read it. It says, "Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord? Glorify and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed." We saw the previous song of the 144,000. It was a song that no one could teach them, as no one could learn. It was only taught by the Lamb, a unique song that is given to them. But then now we hear, we are seeing the victory. Remember, there has been great controversy. There has been war in heaven. Satan was cast down. There has been war on the earth. You know, the beast and his false prophets and his, they have destroyed, they have killed the saints, they have done everything that they wanted to do. There has been such a great judgment and such a great trouble. But now you see the saints are before God and they are just, you know, about to rejoice. They are singing, they are about to sing. And remember, you can see the last judgment, which is the seven plagues. They are now seeing the seven angels who are holding the seven last plagues, and they're like, we are delivered from that plague. Think of how the Old Testament points, is a pointing finger to Christ. It points to the New Testament. Think of all the allusions. Remember the 10 plagues that were given to Pharaoh and Egypt. Picture of that time when there were, you know, the Israelites, the Bible says, you know, the first, you know, 3 days, the judgment was the same for everyone. But from the fourth judgment to the end, it was only the Egyptians who were affected. And that's why it's a similar allegory or allusion that even for us in the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years, it will be for everyone. But then after that, it will now be for those. The final judgment is for those who will not be raptured. We have seen the Son of Man has already done the first harvest. But now, as they have been saved, they see those last plagues that are coming on those who took the mark of the beast, on those who have sinned, on those who are left behind, and they start to give glory to God. Think of the Old Testament before. They were before the sea. You know, they could see, you know, they had just been delivered from, you know, crossing the Red Sea. They saw Pharaoh and all his people, drowned, and his chariots and all that. And they sang the song of Moses. And this you can read in Exodus 15. Just open the Exodus 15 from verse 2 to 19. You'll be able to see. And they declared the victory of God. They declared the victory. And you see, when you look at when they sing this song of Moses, they declared the God's mighty deed. They dealt with, you know, and they affirmed what God is doing at their present. And then they also looked forward to God, how God will take them into Canaan. Likewise, in this time, as they are singing not only the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, they are also declaring the God's victory. Great and marvelous are your works. You see, God has done a mighty work to rescue them from judgment, to rescue them from the beast, to rescue them from the victory over Satan, the dragon. Remember the dragon and the woman. All that victory, God has rescued his people, and God will rescue us who we have put our faith in him. Great and marvelous are your works. You can see all these analogies, all this symbolism, all this, the way the Bible says God speaks twice we have heard. We are seeing God is repeating to us. He's just showing us that, you see, I want to deliver you. I want to save you. You need to be born again. And you see, they declare the victory, and then they declare just and true are your ways, affirming the present situation, looking at how God is, how is God is, and who will not fear. And then they speak of the future where they say, all nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Remember, as God is saying this, remember the nations will flow to Jerusalem. Christ will come for the millennial reign. After the judgment, he will come and reign on the earth for 1,000 years before the final judgment, which is the second death, where people shall be thrown into the lake of fire. They sang the song of Moses and the Lamb. Ideally, some people say it is one song. Others say it is two songs. But if you can see the two are merged, they have the same theme, they speak of the same things, but it is a song of victory. It is a song of victory. And this is the beauty of God. When we put our faith in Him, He will give us the victory and we shall be victorious. And then onwards after that, from verse 5, which we'll go by God's grace we'll be able to see tomorrow, is that now we will see the seven bowls of the seven plagues, which are the seven bowls, the final bowls of judgment. And verse 5, it says, "Then I looked and I saw the temple in heaven. God's tabernacle was thrown wide open. The seven angels were holding the seven plagues, came out of the temple, and they were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes on their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a bowl filled with the wrath of God who lives forever. The temple was filled with smoke from God's glory and power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues." We have a responsibility to respond to God's word. And as we see, it is God that redeems us. It is God that helps us to be faithful. It is God that strengthens us. It is God that forgives our sins, even when we fail, even when we have failed Him. But we can go back to God. Take a moment to reflect on your life and ask God to cleanse us. Father God, I thank You. I thank You for Your people. I thank You for everyone that is listening to this message. That, Lord, You know that You want our hearts to be cleansed. You know that You want us to be made righteous before You. And our Father, I ask for Your forgiveness. Forgive me as a person. Forgive us as a people. Forgive us as a church. Forgive us as believers for areas we have failed You. I plead Your mercies that, Lord, may You show us mercy. Cover us with the blood of Jesus. For them that have never given their lives to Jesus, I pray that even now, may You accept them into Your kingdom, O God. I pray that we may be found ready. May we be found worthy. That indeed in the final judgment, may we escape of it and sing the song of Moses and song of the Lamb. And may You give us that song that only we that have can learn it, that have been taught by You. Remember our family members, children, our loved ones, oh God. Remember our workplaces. We plead Your mercy over each and every one of us. May Your grace and protection keep us, sustain us, and direct us. In all these things, we honor, we adore You, and we give You glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.